I certainly would agree with everything Brother Ray said about the wonderful sisters of this congregation. Lots of food, and we certainly are grateful for that. Had a great fellowship meal. We were thankful for those that were able to stay, and we certainly, Lord willing, look forward to being able to do that again. Tonight, as we open up God's Word, and what a privilege it is to be God's children and to be able to open His Word and to allow God to communicate to us through His divine Word. In Psalm 119, verse 89, we learn that God's Word has been settled in heaven. And God communicates to us in words, words which we can read, words which we can understand so that we can know the truth, knowing that the truth will set us free. And so what a privilege it is to be able to study God's Word, to open it up and to be like, as Brother Sam said, the Bereans, to search the Scriptures to see if what is being preached is so literally in accordance with the Scriptures. Well, tonight we are going to enter into a character study. And I love character studies. You know, when you turn over to the book of Hebrews, and as you begin to read that chapter, we read about individuals that demonstrated great faith. And as you look at Hebrews 11, you would see several individuals throughout that chapter being listed. And again, that would be a great character study to look at. In fact, some of the individuals that we will be looking at tonight can also be found in Hebrews chapter 11. But the individuals that we will be looking at tonight really come from the patriarchal dispensation. As you know, this is the dispensation before the Mosaic dispensation. We're going to be looking at people like Noah and Job. Job was of the patriarchal dispensation. People like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph. Just, again, key figures that as we think about these individuals, they help our faith. But as we engage in this character study tonight, we're also going to present a key thought, at times, key thoughts, plural, with each one of the individuals that we will be looking at tonight. Now, time is not going to allow us to spend much time on each individual, but what I hope that this study will do is it'll encourage you to maybe study more concerning the patriarchs. Well, if you would, open your Bible to Genesis chapter 6. We're going to begin here in Genesis chapter 6. And the first individual that I want to talk about tonight is Noah. Noah is a great character study. And here is the key thought. And what you may do is you may write down the key thought, but as we study this, if there are other key thoughts that come to your mind as we talk about these individuals, write down those key thoughts. Write down those key thoughts and go back and develop those thoughts. Again, allow this study to generate further study that you may do later on in the week. But here's the key thought that I came up with for Noah. The key thought is deliverance. Deliverance. As we think about Noah tonight, we want to consider this idea of deliverance. And again, I would encourage you to go back and read all of what we're going to be talking about. But here in Genesis chapter 6, we see that God saw the wickedness of man, that every imagination of man's heart was on evil continually. And God made up His mind that He would wipe out mankind from the earth. He would purge this world with the flood. But during that time, as you know, that He would strive with man. In fact, when we look at verse number 3 of Genesis 6, He says, "My spirit
shall not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. For 120 years, God's Spirit was striving with man's spirit. How did God's Spirit strive with man's spirit? Oh, when you look into this, it's interesting, isn't it? But we have to go over to the book of 2 Peter, and you don't necessarily have to turn there, but we learn something about Noah in the New Testament that we don't see right here in Genesis chapter 6. What is it that we learn about Noah? In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, we learn Noah not only was in the business of building boats, but he was a preacher, right? A preacher of righteousness. And so again, how did God's Spirit strive with man's spirit that 120 years through His servant Noah, a preacher of righteousness? Well, God made it clear that He would flood the world. But I want you to drop down to the verse number 8 and notice a couple of verses from Genesis chapter 6. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And listen to it. Noah walked with God. God then tells Noah in Genesis chapter 6, verse number 14, Noah, I want you to make an ark, and notice, out of gopher wood. And then he gives the dimensions, a description of the boat that Noah was to build. And then you drop down to verse number 22, and the Bible says, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. What as we stop in and think about Noah and the great man Noah was, we see that Noah's deliverance is a light figure of our deliverance. Now think about that. Noah's deliverance is a light figure of our deliverance. Let's turn over to the book of 1 Peter chapter 3, and you'll see the connection that we're making here with Noah. In 1 Peter chapter 3, beginning in verse number 20, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water, the like figure, 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peter makes the application that we're making tonight from Genesis chapter 6. Again, Noah's deliverance being a light figure of our deliverance. Again, verse number 20, we see that Noah was saved by water. Verse 21 says we are saved by baptism. But when you go back to Genesis chapter 6, we read about God's grace. And it says Noah was saved by water. That's exactly right. God's grace was involved in Noah's deliverance, and grace is involved in our deliverance. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Grace is the source of our salvation. Grace is something that God gives us that we don't deserve. And so if it wasn't for God's grace, there would be no deliverance. That was true in the days of Noah, and that is true even today. In Ephesians 2, verse 8, Paul says, for by grace you are saved through faith. Again, grace is an important part of our salvation. But I want you to look at something here in Genesis chapter 6 with me concerning God's grace. Again, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And as you begin reading verse 9 all the way down to verse number 21, what does God do? God gives Noah instruction. Noah, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build an ark. And this is how I want you to build it. Truly, as we think about this, I believe so many people misunderstand grace. They misunderstand the nature of God's grace. And here in the Old Testament, we learn something very valuable that we also see in the New Testament concerning God's grace, and that is God's grace is instructive by nature. It's God's grace, but it's because of God's grace, God tells us how to be saved, what to do. Again, Noah found grace in the eyes of God, and because God was gracious, God told Noah what to do. Again, in Titus 2, verse number 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men." Verse number 12 says this, teaching. Notice the connection there between Titus 2:11 and Titus 2, verse 12. Grace is the source of our salvation, and it's because of God's grace that we have instruction, that God teaches. He teaches us how to be saved. And just like Noah was saved by water, we are saved by water. We are saved by baptism through the grace of God. Listen, if it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't know how to be saved. If it wasn't for the grace of God, we wouldn't be saved. And how did Noah respond to God's grace? Verse number 22, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him." We go back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. "For by grace you are saved through faith." You see, Paul is talking about God's part in our salvation, His grace. But he's also talking about our part in salvation, our faith. But what kind of faith is Paul describing in Ephesians 2, verse 8? An obedient faith. The same kind of faith that Noah had. Remember, Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And God told Noah what to do. And how did Noah respond to God's instruction? Again, verse 22, "Thus did Noah according all that God commanded him." And so when we think about Noah from Genesis chapter 6, we think about deliverance. That's the key thought. And you and I can be delivered from our sins because of God's grace. And because of God's grace, we have His plan of salvation that will set us free from the bondage of sin. Only when we do what God commands us to do, just like Noah. Do you see why it's important to study the Old Testament, the patriarchal dispensation, the Mosaic dispensation? We can spend the rest of our time, as you know, talking about Noah and talking about the instructions that he followed in building the ark. But we're going to move on to our second key figure tonight. If you would, turn with me to the book of Job. Now, I think you probably have figured out who we're going to be talking about. Turning over to the book of Job. Maybe what you didn't know is Job lived under the patriarchal dispensation. But sometimes people believe Job lived under the Mosaic dispensation because of where the book of Job is found in the Bible. When you look at the Old Testament, it's not in chronological order. Job was a patriarch, and he lived under the patriarchal dispensation.
But as we talk about Job for just a few minutes, and I know the ladies and ladies Bible class are enjoying a wonderful study in the book of Job, and there are probably many thoughts that come to your mind as you think about this great man of God. But the key thought that I want to present to you tonight as we talk about Job is the idea of perseverance. Of perseverance. Job did not give up. Job said in Job 14, verse number 1, that man that is born of woman is full of trouble. And you look at the trouble, you look at the hardships, the affliction, the adversity that Job faced. And you can see why he would say, man that is born of woman is full of trouble. But I want to drop down to Job 1, verse number 10. As you look at verses 8 through 11, the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? For there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Then Satan answered the Lord and said, "Doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made an hedge about him? And about his house, and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. You put forth thy hand now, and touch all that he hath." And listen to what the devil says. "He'll curse you to your face." Notice the accusation that the devil makes there in verse number 11. The only reason why Job is serving you, Lord, is because you've blessed him and you've taken care of him. That is the only reason. But you take all of that away, he will curse you to your face. You see, I truly believe that the devil believes that everyone can be bought. That if you push a person far enough, like he did with Job, he can be bought. He can deny the Lord. Well, you can see as you study the story of Job, that the devil went after Job. And really, as this unfolds, this came in two stages. As you continue reading verse number 13 through 22, you see the first assault. And you can just go through here looking at verse number 13 and 14. He lost his servants. He lost his sheep, verse 17. He lost his camels. We see in verse number 18, "While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in the eldest brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness. It smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon them, and they are dead." As you're looking at chapter 1, we see that Job pretty much lost everything. And it didn't end there. When you look at Job chapter 2, in Job chapter 2, you see the devil's second challenge, his second assault. And we see in chapter 2 of this great book that Job, verse number 4, became very ill, going down to verse number 7. We see that he had boils on his flesh. And then he was encouraged by his wife to curse God and die. I mean, the devil was hitting Job from every angle. And you can just imagine all of life weighing down on Job at this time. But remember what we are highlighting about Job. Job is one who persevered. Job is one that didn't throw in the spiritual towel. And I've often wondered, as I look at the life of Job, and I think about what he has faced, would I have been like Job? Listen to what the Lord says about this great man. In Job chapter 1, verse number 22, "In all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." I can tell you a lot of people, if they faced anything like Job, would be ready to curse God to His face. They would be ready to turn their back on God. They would be ready to blame everything on God, but not Job. Now, as you study the book, you see that Job faced a lot. And I believe what you see many times is a natural response, an emotional response at times from Job. He said things emotionally that were weighing upon his heart because he had no idea what was happening to him. You know, one of the fascinating points I think that you can learn from the story of Job is this. Job served God without explanation. He really didn't get any explanation until the end of the book, and God blessed him. He certainly didn't get any encouragement from his friends. You remember how Job described them? Miserable. Miserable comforters they are. And so the story of Job can be so encouraging because life hasn't changed. There are going to be difficult times in your life, I promise you. Going to be difficult challenges in my life. We know that about life. That's what life throws at us. And we need to remember people like Job. And we need to be like Job. We need to learn to preserve through those trials that we face in this life. Why are we talking about perseverance? Because we grow in perseverance through the trials that we face in this life. Think about James 1, 2 through 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the trying of your faith, it produces perseverance. Sometimes we talk about perseverance, but we don't know how we gain perseverance. But when we look at the life of Job and when we study other passages like James chapter 1, 2 through 4, we grow in perseverance through the trials that we face in this life. They make us stronger. They fortify us. They help our faith to grow, to depend more upon God. And so when we face the trial, we're not depending upon ourselves. We're depending upon God who is there to help us in the trial. Listen, the trials that we face in this life, they should drive us to God, not away from God. But that's how so many respond to the trials of this life. Something bad happens, and people like Jonah, they're ready to get on a ship and go away, run away from God. Don't run away from God. Listen, bad things, it's a hard lesson to learn. Bad things can happen to good people. That's a part of life. And we have to learn to cope with life. And we have to understand that God is there to help us in this life. I hope nothing bad happens to anyone in here. But if it does, I hope we turn to God. I hope we turn to our family. I hope we will trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not upon our own understanding. You know, as I think about what people have faced in this life, some good people have faced hard, hard times. People who get sick. People who lose a loved one. That is hard to cope with as you go through this life. We are helping a sister in Christ there in Austin sell some property, and she lives out of state. Her mother owns the property, and she took her mother to where she lived, and basically her mother passed away about 2 weeks ago. Her son got killed this last Monday in a motorcycle wreck. Member of the church.
something that she has to cope with. Lost her daughter a few years earlier. Can you only imagine the pain, the grief, the sorrow the sister in Christ is facing? And thank God that we've got a loving God, a God of comfort that we can turn to lean upon, like we see Job doing. Let's move on to our next character study. Again, you go through the Bible and you read about people like Noah. You read about people like Job. And again, these character studies can build our character. They can build our faith in God. Well, think about Abraham. Let's go back to the book of Genesis, and we'll start in Genesis chapter 12. And I realize that I am really losing time here, but that's okay. You see, with a study like this, I can stop wherever and pick up, Lord willing, next week versus just running through these. What we'll do is we'll look at Abraham, and then, Lord willing, next week we'll look at three more patriarchs in this character study that can help us in our faith. And so let's go back to the book of Genesis, and I want to begin at Genesis chapter 12. Now, as we look at these examples of Abraham, there are several passages that we're going to look at in the book of Genesis as they relate to Abraham. But there's another passage that I just want to mention in passing, and we'll actually be looking at this in more detail, Lord willing, next Sunday morning in our Bible class in James chapter 2. But I believe the passage that I want to mention in James 2 verse 23 will emphasize the point that we want to make, the key thought concerning Abraham. Abraham, James 2 verse 23, was a friend of God. You see, that's the key thought. Abraham was a friend of God. And so let's look at Abraham. Why was he a friend of God? Well, here in Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord, verse 1, had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. By the way, at this time, to pack up and leave your homeland, that wasn't natural. That wasn't something that ordinary people did. To pack up everything, all of your belongings, and go to another place, it was unheard of. But that's exactly what the Lord told Abraham to do. Verse 2, I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Hold your spot there in Genesis chapter 12, and I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. And as you're turning over to Hebrews chapter 11, I want to read verse number 8, because Hebrews 11 verse 8 sheds light on Genesis chapter 12. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, listen it, by faith Abraham, verse 8, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whither he went. Why was Abraham called a friend of God? Because he obeyed God. Now look at Genesis chapter 18. And I'm just highlighting a couple of passages. Consider what the Lord says about this great man, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 18, verse number 18. Verse number 19, excuse me. The Lord says, verse number 19, describing his character, for I know him that he shall command his children and his household after him, and shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. Abraham was called a friend of God because he kept the ways of the Lord. He kept the ways of the Lord. He was obedient
to the Lord.
Let me give you another example in Genesis chapter 22. I know this is a familiar section here where Abraham went upon Mount Moriah. In verse number 5, Abraham, verse number 5 of chapter 22, said unto his young men, "Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come to you again." And Abraham took the wood of burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hands and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father," he said, "here I am, my son." And he said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide Himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went, both of them, together. And they came to the place which God, listen to this, that God told him. And Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar of the wood. Perhaps this was the ultimate test of Abraham's faith. But notice the details there in verse number 8. How Abraham obeyed God's instruction with exactness, putting the wood in order. Now, I realize under the patriarchal dispensation, they didn't receive an oral law like under the Mosaic dispensation. But obviously, we see things here, God communicating to the patriarchs. Again, Abraham knew how to put the wood in order because God told him to do it, and he did it by faith. And then he took his son. Verse number 9, he bound his son upon the altar. And as you continue to read the story, you remember he pulled his knife to slay his son. But the angel cried out, "Abraham, Abraham," and God provided a sacrifice. We learn in Hebrews chapter 11, though, about Abraham concerning the sacrifice. Because when you read Genesis 22, we see the angel stopped him and the Lord provided a sacrifice. Naturally, in our minds, we're wondering, would he have really done it? Would he have really sacrificed his son? Read Hebrews chapter 11. We learn there in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. You know why? Because he believed that God would be able to raise him from the dead. You want a picture of faith? There it is. Look at the life of Abraham. He was called a friend of God because he was faithful to God. That's how Abraham lived his life. He kept the Lord's ways. He taught his children the Lord's ways. And he worshiped God just like the Lord instructed him to do. And he was a friend of God. And you know the encouraging thing is tonight, we can be called a friend of God. Jesus said these words, and the lesson will be yours. In John 15, verse number 14, "If you do whatsoever I command you, you are my friend." Let's be like Abraham. Let's be like Job. Let's be like Noah. Let's think about these individuals, and let's allow their example to fortify us, to build us up, to prepare us for the giants that we face in this life. And ultimately, let's be faithful to God. You know, as we read about the patriarchs and as we read about Abraham, as he would pack up and leave home, in Hebrews chapter 11, it says in Hebrews 11 verse 10 and verse number 16, he was looking for a better country. And you know, as we go through life, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a better country. We're looking for a heavenly city. Let's not allow anything that we face in this life to distract us, to keep us
from wanting to be with God in heaven. The lesson is yours tonight. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation for any reason,